Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
City Thunder select Chet Holmgren from Gonzaga University.
What a pass. Giddy underneath for JRE. The reverse and the rookie-to-rookie action. SGA defended closely by Westbrook. Tough step back. Gets up the shot. Banks it in for the lead.
This is Udort. You're listening to the Uncontested.
What is up and welcome to the Uncontested podcast. Emergency-ish edition, as it is 11 o'clock on September 29th, a Thursday night. I'm your host, Jacob Niffen. I'm joined by my co-host, Taylor Peterson.
I'd be lying if I said I didn't miss a good Thunder trade.
Hey, sometimes you're just about to play Dungeons & Dragons, and then Woj blows you up, and you're distracted the entire night.
And other times you're sleeping at 3 a.m. and Paul George requests a trade to the Clippers, you know?
It's you never know. It's inevitable. It is absolutely inevitable. And this one, nearly as impactful as the Paul George trade, Taylor. Now, before we dive in, few notes. We are proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. We are also part of DailyThunder.com. We've got some awesome Daily Thunder content dropping next week. Be on the lookout. It's going to be dope. Also, I've been plugging up like crazy. Going to continue to do so. Look at that bad boy. We got uncontested hats. They are here. We would love to get you one. Very limited run. They even say the uncontested on the back. We'd love to give you a hat. I'll ship them international. Doesn't matter. Just slide in the DMs. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you follow us. Slide into the DMs. Hit me up. We will talk about getting you a hat. Also, new uncontested stickers are available. All you got to do to get one of these is A, order a hat, and I'll send you one. Or B, drop a 5-star rating wherever you get your podcast at. Go to the Uncontested, drop a 5-star, write a little review, screenshot that thing, DM it to us along with your address. I've got envelopes and stickers sitting right next to me. I will package you up a sticker, and I will mail it to you so you can put it on your car, on your laptop, wherever you want. We would love to send you a sticker, so hit us up. I think that's all the news I got. Taylor, the Oklahoma City Thunder, make a trade.
Another one.
We've been talking and talking and talking about this roster crunch. What's going to happen? Who's going to be left on the team? Kamiar Silva and I were on the show last night, and I said that I thought Teo would get cut or bought out, and that Derek Favors would make the roster. And that is where we would be after the Vete Krejci trade. We got to trade Vete Krejci to Atlanta for Mo Harkless and a pick. And then Woj tweets tonight, 7:59 p.m. I'm going to read it. ESPN sources. The Oklahoma City Thunder are trading Derek Favors, Ty Jerome, Mo Harkless, Teo Maledon and a 2025 second round pick from Atlanta. That's the pick that they got amended in that trade the other night. To the Houston Rockets for David Nwaba, Sterling Brown, Trey Burke, and Marquise Chris. Initial thoughts when this tweet drops, Taylor?
Kind of confusion at not... I think I was more confused that a trade like that resulted in the Thunder bringing back four players. But shortly after, not to just read off tweets this whole entire podcast, we won't do that, I promise, but Woj brought up a really good point. Essentially, it's a cap-centric deal for both teams. The Thunder were able to gain two trade exceptions. They drop about $10 million under the luxury tax, which is a pretty big deal for a rebuilding team. You're not trying to pay the luxury tax for a rebuilding team, although obviously the Thunder had quite a bit of time to get under that tax threshold. But then the Rockets get a second-round pick plus cash considerations as well, which made it worth it for them, as well as a trade chip and Derek Favors. So it makes sense for both teams. You and I were talking a lot about this before the podcast, Jacob. These are all honestly kind of interesting players, like Nwaba, Sterling Brown, Trey Burke, Marquise Chris. These are all guys that if they were traded for individually, I could see the Thunder willing to take a flyer on them, see how they pan out. But as it currently stands, I'd be really surprised, I think, to see any of these four actually make the roster. And, you know, same for the other four players that went to Houston, with the exception of maybe Teo and Favors. So that was kind of my initial thought. Or initial thoughts.
Yeah, so we also have some reporting out of Houston that Ty Jerome and Mo Harkless will be bought out. You could say we don't have Mo Harkless, we have Les Harkless now. Sorry, it's 11 p.m. I'm going to pull out some Mo bullshit on this one.
Mo problems.
How could you be Mo Harkless? So the whole point of this is the Thunder have to make roster cuts. They are still net even in players. I said last night that I don't even think Mo Harkless would get on a plane and come to Oklahoma City.
He didn't.
I question if any of these four guys will get on a plane and come to Oklahoma City.
Agreed.
If the Thunder waived all four in this trade, they'd be down to 14 players on the active roster. That means they have one open roster spot. Taylor, I want to ask you. I'm looking at the trade again. David Nwaba, Sterling Brown, Trey Burke, Marquise Chris. If I were to tell you, if I had a glimpse into the future, I had a crystal ball, and I glimpsed into the future, and I said, I saw something, and I came back to this podcast, and I told you, Taylor, the Thunder are going to have a 15-man roster, and the 15th guy they're going to keep is one of the four guys from this trade. I want you to tell me, who do you think that guy is, and put them in order, most likely down to least likely.
Yeah. So I saw a lot of, or not a lot. There weren't a ton of tweets about this one outside of, but those that did, that knew some of these players, obviously Nwaba is one that pops up. He's kind of been a project in the past. He's shown flashes. And while he's older than this current core for the Thunder, I get that makes a lot of sense, but I actually think I'm going to lean with Nick here, our own Nick Crane. He tweeted this out. He mentioned this in our Slack. I'm going to go with Marquise Chris as well. He kind of reminds me of that Nerlens Noel, Jacob, like a high pick in the past who hasn't panned out necessarily, but in the right environment, maybe could show some flashes and contribute, not what obviously people thought when he was drafted, but in regards to like, hey, you saw a backup big. And the reason for that is like, you know, I think Nick brought up a really good point of him. He'll probably be the best rim runner on the team almost immediately. And pairing him, you know, we talked about that vertical spacing threat without Chet this season and trading away Derek Favors now, kind of makes sense to keep a player like Chris around for guys like Josh Giddey and Shea. Again, if we were ranking all possibilities in order, my first would be they aren't keeping any of these players. I'd like to see Lindy Waters or somebody like that promoted instead or brought in instead. But of these players, I'd go Nwaba Marquise Chris one, Nwaba two, for the reasons I mentioned. I've always liked Sterling Brown, and he kind of reminds me of like a player that Presti would have targeted in the past, kind of that prototype that we've talked about. I'd go him three, and then Trey Burke fourth. Also, I always get these two players mixed up, so I could be wrong here. Trey Burke wasn't the one that was coming to OKC in free agency. Who am I thinking of?
That's the wing, Burks.
Burks. I always get them mixed up.
This is the small point guard.
Yeah, Burke. That's right. Gotcha. Mavericks. And gotcha. I would put him last. Now, just a quick breakdown here from Bobby Marks. Nwaba makes $5 million. Sterling Brown, $3 million. Trey Burke, $3.4 million. Marquise Chris, $2.2 million. It's quite a bit less when you look at like Favors, $10.2 million. Jerome, $4.2 million. Harkless, $4.6 million. And then obviously Teo was only $1.9 million. But interesting when you look at those numbers.
Yeah, I think the big thing here for the Thunder was cutting a lot of money, right? They dipped $10 million lower. That only makes sense whenever you are going to not be good this season. You don't want to pay a lot of money. And a lot of that money is dead money going to players that aren't even here anymore. But also creating the trade exceptions. And this just makes some of these guys easier to buy out. They've probably already started working with the agents of these guys. So, I think this is money motivated for the Thunder. I also think it's cut related, right? Those are the two really big things here. I'm probably with you as far as Marquise Chris would be the one I would guess if they kept one. You said you made the Nerlens Noel comp. If he gets in the right situation and in the right culture, maybe he can improve. He was already there in Golden State.
Great point.
And he did fine in Golden State. But
not fine enough.
Nerlens Noel was in a toxic Philadelphia culture, went to a Dallas team where things just did not work out for him, and kind of let himself go, and then ended up in Oklahoma City and really bought it. Maybe Marquise Chris can find something in Oklahoma City. The guy is 25 years old, just turned 25 in July. I'm trying to find his contract here right now. He,
$2.2 million.
Yeah. And it's just this year. And then it's over. It's an expiring deal.
One interesting thing, Jacob, is all four of these contracts. Now, granted, I'm not sure if they all are expirings or not. I can't speak to that, but I do know that they're all guarantees where, I'm trying to think, I think Teo was a non-guarantee. I don't know. There's a couple non-guarantee contracts that they sent to Houston. So it's interesting. But I also saw somebody, I apologize, I can't remember who mentioned like a rebuilding team like the Thunder trying to get under the tax would need some guaranteeing contracts like that. I guess I'm not entirely sure how that works. I haven't dug that deep into the weeds, but basically the Thunder are going to save about $7 million here. And like you said, they're going to generate a $10 million trade exception for Derek Favors for when we're inevitably a, you know, top seven seed come playoff time and heading into the trade deadline and need to bring in a player.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think the Thunder are going to use that exception unless it's around this time next year.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. It's nice to have a trade exception like that. They typically don't get used, but it's just another thing, another bullet in the chamber, for lack of a better term.
No, that's a good, very good point.
So
let's
say, Taylor, that they cut all four guys. That leaves your roster at Shea, Giddy, Dort, J-Dub, Trey Mann, Usman Jang, Alexei Pokuševski, Darius Bazley, Jeremiah Robinson-Earl, Aaron Wiggins, Kenrich Williams, Chet Holmgren, J-Dub. Not a lot of guys that play center there.
Not at all. You have.
I really thought Favors would stay around just for the fit. Like, they would need a guy like Favors. Game freaking one is against Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert. You're going up against a massive front line in game one. Having a guy like Derek Favors would be great. Deep down, I think they're cutting all four of these guys.
Yep.
If they do that, and back to the Marquise Chris thing for a second, he would fit as like a big for sure as far as size and versatility. But some of the locker room issues and stuff, I think bringing Nerlens, a young guy, into a Paul George, Russell Westbrook locker room, there's something already set there and he's got to fall in line. But bringing a 25-year-old into a locker room that features 19 first or second year players.
Yep.
He's already going to carry some weight because he's been in the league for a while. That could maybe create a toxic situation. I just don't see it happening. Maybe it will, and maybe Sam Presti will surprise me. And if he does, I'll totally trust the decision. I don't think he's staying around, which, Taylor, opens up the question for me. Who the hell plays center on this team?
So, sorry.
Mark Daigneault talked about this today at media availability, actually.
And that's said what I was going to
be
up.
Very, very fluid. But, I mean, JRE played 24 minutes a game last season. If you keep him at 24 minutes and put all of those minutes at center, you still have another 24 minutes. I don't think Mike Muscala is playing that many minutes. So who's playing the five? Is Jay Will now suddenly in the rotation? Is Darius Bazley getting bench 5 minutes? Is Poku factoring more into that now? Like, it's very fascinating to me.
So if it looked like I wasn't paying attention, it was because I was looking for that quote. And you're exactly right. Daigneault mentioned that there's not a loud starting five. The five position is going to be fluid this year. And so you're right. You look at the available centers to play. You have Jerry, probably going to be the starting five, especially now at this point. Muscala, like you mentioned, we'll see him some for sure. But then we're looking at like Bazley, maybe even Poku, as weird as that sounds. It is interesting that Daigneault mentioned Poku being a kind of a connector kind of player and how much he's improved this offseason, how he's looked in training camp thus far today.
Right in the bloodstream, baby.
But you
give me
a great
all
point.
The Poku preseason hype.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it'd be fascinating to watch, especially if he can hold his own defensively, which I – if we had concerns about Chet defensively guarding fives, true fives in the NBA, I have probably more concerns about Poku.
Hey.
But you know what? Yeah, that's right.
That's starting power forward, Alexei Pokuševski, to you.
Now we're talking. That's a different situation. However, I think you bring up a really good point about Jay Will. Also, the fact that the Thunder were so invested. They were so interested in him in the pre-draft process and thought very highly of him. I think we see a combination of all the above, which is a very boring answer, but that's the way that, you know, this Thunder team typically operates, is a combination of all those different things and getting these guys different minutes and a roster exploration is what Presti's called it. Past couple of seasons. I think we're going to see a lot of that exploration here. And like we've talked a lot about on this podcast so far, Jacob, throughout the offseason, huge kind of prove it or lose it kind of seasons for both Bazley and Poku. This kind of gives the team an opportunity to get them some playing time early for them to be able to prove it. And if they can't, maybe leading into the trade deadline, that's where we see a move where you trade a Bazley or a Poku or whoever it may be. And maybe that's what, you know, it opens up minutes for Jay Will, like we just talked about. Another player that's not on the roster yet, but whatever it may be, there's a lot of options here. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, I guess is what I'm trying to say. There's not a true five on this team.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another interesting thing is they traded away two guards in this trade. And Teo.
Yep.
The guard position on this team was very deep. I don't know if it was good, but there was a lot of people there. Now your starting guards are like Shea and Josh, and you could argue that Lou is a guard. You've got Trey. We talked last night. I think J-Dub is going to be more of a wing on this team than a guard.
I agree. But we'll probably get some guard minutes, to your point.
Aaron Wiggins, I guess, is a guard, but I mean, they played him at four last year. He's more
same
of a
thing
wing.
I think same thing as J-Dub, probably, right?
Maybe maybe this is just the podcaster in me that's reaching for content. We thought Ty and Teo could be gone anyways, but this opens up a big opportunity for Trey Mann to get a lot of minutes.
And I think
there's a lot less mouths to feed in that backcourt now. Trey, I think, is exclusively a guard compared to those other two guys we just talked about. That opens up a lot of minutes for Trey.
And not just like minutes in general, Jacob, but kind of something that I listened back to the podcast you guys did actually earlier before the trade happened. And I can't remember if it was you, Connie,
Was it a good point?
Yeah, no, it was a really good point.
It was me then.
Yeah, fair enough. about Trey playing the one. Right. And talking about, I think it was you actually know that thing.
Yeah.
Back
he talked about a lot about how he, during the summer, he was put in situations. He was practicing, making decisions out of the pick and roll.
Right. So not only does this open up minutes in general for Trey, which he was probably already going to get to an extent. You're right. I think we might see some backup point guard Trey minutes, which we know he can do based off his time in Florida. That's interesting to me also. You know, one thing I was really looking forward to with Trey, and we've talk some about this, and we'll talk about it more like in our upcoming bets podcast, for example, but I think we'll see some Trey Mann off ball, especially playing alongside Giddy and Shea. And I mentioned this, I think, last week, but like his catch and shoot numbers are really going to dictate how much they can do that and how well those lamps are going to work. But we might see even more backup point guard Trey now, which is a fascinating point I hadn't really thought of with this trade happening.
It opens up a lot of time for him, which is really, really cool. Going back to that, the roster now, if they cut all four of those guys, for actual guards that you want like handling the ball, you've got Shea, you've got Giddy, you could say Dort, you could say J-Dub, Trey Mann.
Yep.
That's it. So really, I think really awesome opportunity for Trey here as well. So, Taylor, earlier...
Don't forget Point Poku, though. Okay. Let's...
I know you're saying that facetiously. The way that coach talked about Poku today, they don't want him creating offense. They want him catching off a Josh drive and kick and then attacking a closeout and swinging or setting a screen, rolling on the short roll, catching in the middle of the lane and having
kicking
options
out to
an play
open
make.
Shooter.
They don't want him handling the ball to create offense. They want him making quick decisions off secondary actions, which I think he can be very good at.
True.
But let's go back. If they cut all four guys, we said this, they have 14 on the roster, one open roster spot. I said, if they keep one of the four, who would it be? We both agreed it's probably Marquise Chriss. But I think we both probably believe they're going to cut all four guys.
Right. So I see where you're heading with this.
Next question. A, do they make another trade? B, do they roll into the regular season with an open roster spot? C, does a guy like Lindy Waters get the Lou Dort, Aaron Wiggins special the 3 or 4 year non-guaranteed deal at the veterans minimum that have player or sorry, not player team options and non-guarantees on all the years. And do they give Lindy a spot on the 15 man and then bring somebody else up? Maybe a Jamias Ramsey that's with the blue, maybe someone else who's with the blue on a two way.
Yeah.
So A is another trade happens. B is they leave the roster spot open. C is they bring Lindy up.
So in typical Taylor fashion, there's a lot of different ways you can answer this. I think the most likely, though, is that they leave that open roster spot because that flexibility is so important when it comes to just potential opportunities leading up to the trade deadline. Because even if something doesn't materialize, you're giving yourself that flexibility. If something doesn't materialize, then you can bump up a Lindy Waters, especially if he continues to prove himself throughout the season. And to your point, then bring in a Ramsey or whoever may be on another two-way. But with that being said, that other option that you brought up first, which I found interesting you brought that up first because I've had that in the back of my mind as well. The fact that Presti had this trade lined up, obviously he made that trade with Atlanta a couple of days ago, knowing that Harkless was probably going to be on the move or at least was looking for trades. I say all that because I think that that's what Presti's prioritizing first, right? I think he's going to try and trade some of these players if he can make something happen in a similar small trade. But if that doesn't materialize, I think the next most likely situation is he keeps open that spot. And then that doesn't mean that Lindy Waters isn't going to get promoted, like I said, right? It could happen later in the season. It just makes a lot of sense from a team building standpoint to keep that roster spot open.
I think I agree with you, but the one I want is Lindy to get the contract just because I love that story. I think that would be incredible. I would be really, really into that. Lindy's seems like an awesome, awesome dude. Played high school ball about a half a mile away from my house.
Yep.
Just really cool. I would love to see that for Lindy. Keeping the roster spot open kind of makes a lot of sense. I mentioned that there's another trade.
Me too.
Coming up.
Especially with him bringing back four players. I understand that you can, it's not significant money to just waive those players, pay those contracts, whatever. But like I said, those are all guaranteed deals compared to some
non-guarantees. I could see somebody being interested in David Nwaba.
Yep.
I could see maybe somebody taking a flyer with Marquise Chris as like their 15th guy on a contender. Like the first team that jumped out to me there was the Lakers.
That's a good one.
David Nwaba would make sense on like as a third string guy on a contending team. Trey Burke seems like a buyout guy to me. I don't really see anything else happening there besides him getting bought out. So just some interesting things there. I wonder if instead of just buying them all out on impact, Presti tries to see if he can reroute guys somewhere for more trade exceptions for
pretend seconds.
Yeah. Or protected seconds or whatever, just to get more assets in the door. It's kind of interesting. So we'll see. But I'm really into the idea of Lindy getting an opportunity.
I love that.
I think we've talked this trade to death. There's not a whole lot to actually break down because we don't think any of these guys are going to land with the Thunder. Few minor things on the trade to wrap us up, and then I want to talk a little bit about some comments from practice today. It's been reported out of Houston that Ty Jerome's going to get bought out. Where does he land?
I've been thinking about this.
My guy Ty, too much sauce. I'm very upset he's gone.
I know. I'm gonna miss Ty a lot. I know Shay's too. They were buds. Who needs like a backup point guard placing spot minutes that can shoot? Honestly, I saw our Phoenix Suns friends over at the Time I podcast. Yeah,
I was about to say it.
They need a backup point guard. He's been there, obviously. They need shooting. It works really well there.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, who else?
People in the chat saying Mavs.
Mavs is, I like that.
Guard shoots White. Check, check, check for the Dallas Mavericks.
That's Mark Cuban's music.
I mean, there might be a few teams. Don't really care about Mo Harkless. Derek Favors might stay around down there.
Yep.
There's a possibility of that. He might be a good vet in the locker room. Lord knows that Houston Rockets team needs that. Is this the first trade that Sam Presti has made with Raphael Stone?
Oh, dang it. That's a good question.
I think it is.
I feel like it is.
He's dealt with the Houston Rockets before.
Plenty.
Don't think he's ever dealt with Raphael Stone.
This is the first trade since the Russell Westbrook trade, to your point.
Yeah. I think Raphael Stone was on staff with the Rockets during the Westbrook trade.
Right.
But this is the first time they've actually dealt directly together. So that's interesting as well. Taylor, let's talk a little bit about camp real quick, like maybe 5 minutes before we get out of here. We heard from Chet today. And was it cool to hear from Chet? Yes. Do I like what he says? Yes.
100%.
Am I sad as shit? Yes. Yep. Anything jump off from Chet's quotes?
No, other than he's just extremely well-spoken, especially for his age and being the caliber draft pick he is. Like
You interested that he's talking to Joel Embiid?
Oh, okay, fair. Yeah, no, I do like that. No, didn't he work, am I making that up, that he worked out with Joel this?
Oh, yeah, remember on the Hoop Collective pod, Windhorse said that one of their colleagues watched that pickup run and said Chet blocked Joel like three times in one game.
Turned some heads.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it makes sense.
God, that makes me so sad. I want to watch him play basketball.
With this team, too. Ugh. I agree. No, that was a great point. He has great perspective. He's been talking with Nick Collison, which is cool. Again, we mentioned this on Monday, but his locker's next to Kenrich. I think it's pretty cool as well. I guess the only other thing, the fact that he's like in the Thunder Ion doing his rehab and workouts from like, what was it, 8 to 2. And then he takes a break and then comes and meets his team for training camp. Mm-hmm. That's pretty impressive. And again, like they've got they've got a program set for him. They're following it. It's going to be exciting to see how he develops physically. And I was thinking about this as well, Jacob, to your point, like I just want to see him back on the floor. But like it will be so fun and exciting. We're going to overreact so much to the first video of him like putting weight on his foot and just shooting some like small jumpers in the Thunder practice arena.
100%. Not to get us off topic, but speaking of overreacting a little bit, I got to be honest with you.
Trade rooms?
No. We're not talking
kidding,
about
that anymore. Kidding. Bad joke.
I've been so busy, and then all of my basketball content has been like what's going on with Thunder training camp. Last night, I finally saw the Zion Williamson pictures. Wow.
Yeah, he looks pretty solid.
That dude lost some weight.
He did.
And he looks impressive.
And kept muscle. He bulks too.
He looks impressive.
I think I saw some tweets like, if I were a betting man, Zion MVP wouldn't be necessarily a terrible one. Those might be some overreactions, but...
He looks awesome.
He looks really good.
Other thing, we touched on it a little bit, but I want to talk about it again. Coach was asked about Poku today and talked for quite a while. You mentioned that the idea of Poku being a connector piece. Coach said that he looks bigger on the court, especially in his lower body. He's playing more physical defense. Poku himself at Media Day said that he wants to be able to be a good defender and be efficient on offense. We talk a lot about Darius Bazley on this podcast and how if he could just buy into a role, he could be successful. From what I've heard Poku say, and from what I've heard Poku's coach say about Poku, it sounds like he's the one buying into a role right now. Defending, being a connector on offense, not doing the crazy Poku shit that we all love but drives us crazy, but honing it in and being very intentional and very specific and trying to be efficient. The ship has probably sailed, Taylor, for me and my belief that Poku can be like a superstar or a star, but a solid contributing NBA rotational player, it's there. And I joked on Twitter that I was like breaking down OKC Thunder official photos from practice like they were the freaking Zapruder film.
The blues and the whites.
I'm not buying anything into any of that.
For what it's worth, worth. Giddy was in a white jersey today. But No, there is something to say to what I see where you're going with this. There is something to say, like, even though if these aren't starting lineups, they being the coaching staff, do intentionally put some of these guys together to see how certain lineups gel. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what you're getting at.
I was getting at something bigger, which I wonder if
you're saying Poku's starting.
that sounds crazy. I have no clue. Just reading some context clues and being a hopeful idiot like I am, I just kind of wonder. Like, I have penciled in, ever since the Chet injury, I've penciled in Shea, Lou, Josh,
Baisley,
JRE. What if it's Poku JRE?
What if it's Poku Baisley? I honestly think Poku Baisley.
Now that Derek Favors is gone, it raises the percentage.
Yep.
Coach just raved about Poku. He did talk nice about Baisley, but not for nearly as long. I'm interested. I know we can't take a lot out of preseason. I know. And I'm tired of people telling me you can't take a lot of preseason. I just want to watch some damn basketball.
People say you can't take a lot out of preseason because they want to, like, seem professional and stuff. And then
don't tell me what to do with my life.
They go on their own podcast and they talk about it for 30 minutes. So
don't tell me what to do with my life. I can take whatever I want from preseason.
Yeah, this is our podcast.
And I'm excited to see Poku play in preseason and to get excited about it.
In this house, we stand starter Poku.
One, I might have my first bet, Taylor.
There we go. There it is.
We're a week and a half away from the bets pod. I might have my first one.
Can't wait.
All right. Anything else, Taylor? Or are we done here?
No.
Sounds like we're done here.
The Poku hype. I'm with you. I'm back.
I might get a Alexei Pokushevsky tattoo this weekend. I'm not really going to do that. Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Emergency Pod. We appreciate you guys. If you are in the live stream like a psycho at 11:30 p.m.
Or like midweek in Australia or New Zealand. I can't remember.
New Zealand. Meek's a New Zealander. Come on, man.
It's 5 p.m. there, you know, prime time.
Thank you guys so much for being in the live stream. If you're downloading this pod, thank you so much. Order an uncontested hat. If you like the show, you'd like a hat. I'm just saying, we'd love to send you one. If you don't got the money for a hat, we get it. Totally cool. Just go drop a 5-star for the pod. Send it to me so I can send you an uncontested sticker. I'd love to get you a sticker so you can rock it wherever you want to stick that bad boy at. We will be back with you again Sunday doing some preseason prep for our first preseason game. Then yours truly, Monday night, first post game of the year. I got to say, pre-pod, Taylor and I were just messing around. We found the post game podcast intro. And it slaps.
It's a banger.
Absolute banger. We'll be back with you guys Sunday night. Have a great Friday, a great weekend. We will see you all soon. Until then, and as always, God bless Tay, not Tayo Maladone. God bless Ty Jerome. Too much sauce.